Good morning, my friends. This is missionary James Robinette. I'm a missionary with Mission East Africa, Uganda. And by the gracious will of the good Lord, it is my real joy to look to the Word of God with you this Lord's Day morning. Praise God. My friends, please turn in your Bibles to Psalm 22. That's Psalm 22. And today, for the sake of variety and because I believe this will be a blessing to you, I want to read scripture, and I also want to share with you the brief comments by a Christian minister named Henry Law. He was the Dean of Gloucester in the 18th century and an influential figure in the Evangelical Party of the Church of England. His piece entitled Daily Prayer and Praise, the Book of Psalms arranged for private and family use, has been a blessing to me. I began to use this little volume in my morning devotions, my personal time with God in worship this year. And his comments are very helpful. They're encouraging and they help us to look to the Lord. And so today, my plan is to share scripture and to share some of the comments that Henry Law makes about the scriptures, about the various verses. Praise God. I trust that this will be a blessing to you. He was a writer three centuries ago, and so we must understand that his language is a bit different than our modern English today. But if you read the King James Version of the Holy Bible, you will recognize some of the old English words and expressions that he uses. His meaning is fairly clear, though, I think. And so I encourage you to find a blessing as we share his comments today on the Holy Scripture. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for your grace, such marvelous grace. Thank you for the glorious truth that you suffered and died, that you rose again from the dead for us, for our salvation. And you've done this great work to bring us to God. Lord, we thank you for your gift to your church through the centuries of godly men, and that you gave them insight, and that you gifted them with the ability to preach and to teach and to speak and to write and to bring the gospel to the nations. And we thank you for the life of Henry Law, and that we can benefit from his relationship with you and from his ministry today. And so we pray, Lord, that you will bless your holy word to the hearts of our hearers today. And we pray also that these comments will be helpful and would be a blessing and an encouragement. Bring light into our hearts, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Let me read some thoughts written by Henry Law in the introduction, the preface of this little piece. But the main glory of this book is its identity with Christ. He brightly shines throughout its varied hymns. He is constantly the speaker, and in these breathings of his spirit, we receive convincing evidence that without ceasing to be God, he was a perfect man and preeminently a man of sorrows. We here are supplied with a vivid portrait of his character, his work, his love, his sufferings, his glory. It would be no difficult task to construct a gospel from its prophetic language. It may be regarded as his manual during his career on earth, when, as the expiating God-man, he was uplifted on the accursed tree and the iron entered into his soul, his misery goes forth in the moanings of a psalm, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He gives up the ghost, uttering its confiding terms, into thy hands I commend my spirit. He ascends amid the shouts, lift up your heads, O ye gates. He receives the welcome, sit thou on my right hand. These are Law's introductory thoughts regarding the Psalms. This is a devotional work based upon the Psalms. And let us begin this morning in Psalm 22. I will read it in the New King James Version of the Holy Bible, then share Law's comments. To the chief musician set, to the deer of the dawn, a psalm of David. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me and from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. But you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in you. They trusted, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. They shoot out the lip, they shake the head, saying, he trusted in the Lord, let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breasts. I was cast upon you from birth. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, glorify him. And fear him, all you offspring of Israel. For he has not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Nor has he hidden his face from him, but when he cried out to him, he heard. My praise shall be of you in the great assembly. I will pay my vows before those who fear him. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him will praise the Lord. Let your heart live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before you. For the kingdom is the Lord's, and he rules over the nations. All the prosperous of the earth shall eat and worship. All those who go down to the dust shall bow before him, even he who cannot keep himself alive. A posterity shall serve him. It will be recounted of the Lord to the next generation. They will come and declare his righteousness to a people who will be born that he has done this. And now, my friends, let me read the comments by Law. I will also read the verses that he comments upon, and these are written in the King James Version, the Holy Bible. Psalm 22, verses 1 through 10. The deepest anguish of our suffering Lord is here portrayed. The story of the cross is told in minute detail. Light breaks forth at last. May we gaze and adore. Verses 1 and 2. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? O my God, I cry in the daytime, but thou hearest not, and in the night season, and am not silent. We take our stand at Calvary. The cross is erected. Jesus, the God-man, our proxy, our Redeemer, hangs thereon. We look and we receive assurance that verily he is bearing our curse and drinking to the dregs our cup of wrath and receiving into his inmost soul the sword of justice. and suffering the extremities of penal anguish. For 3 hours, the grossest darkness veils the world. We may not pierce the mystery. What mind could bear to realize the tremendous transaction? We learn all that we need to know from the shrill cry which burst from the sufferer's heart. He testifies that God, his God, was no more present. His countenance was wholly hid. Utter desertion overwhelmed him. He cried for help, but no help came. He roared through extremest anguish and was not silent, but no answer came. It was the hour and power of darkness. Hell could not do more to terrify and excruciate. He was abandoned to its fury. He was surrendered to its worst. Here we have fullest proof that our Lord's sufferings were real, but they were not for himself. They were all really substitutional. We have a real curse bearer, and we really suffer in him. But against all feeling, when all things were most adverse, faith still survived and retained hold of God. From desertion's lowest depth, faith cried, "My God, my God." Verses 3, 4, and 5. "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee, and were delivered. They trusted in thee, and were not confounded." It is faith's happy province when outward comforts utterly depart, still to justify God. Faith cannot blame, disparage, or cast doubt on him. Against all outward sense, it knows and witnesses that God is holy. It knows that God is entitled to all praise. Praise is his due desert. His people's praises are his home. In darkest times, faith gathers strength from ages of experience. It looks to the elders of God's house. They all were partakers of confiding grace. It is thrice repeated that they trusted. To trust, they added prayer. The end was sure. Deliverance came, and they were not ashamed. Though he slay us, yet let us trust him. Light is sown for the righteous. We read a wondrous word is falling from the lips of Jesus, "Our fathers." He states that he is thoroughly one with us. He is born very man, a member of our family. Our fathers are his fathers, and his father is our father. Verse 6. "But I am a worm and no man, a reproach of men and despised of the people." Jesus foresaw his deep humiliation. He takes the place of a scorned reptile. He is deemed scarcely worthy to be ranked on a level with the human race. In after days, the prophet sounded a like note of degradation. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Let us gratefully remember that his low estate is our exaltation. He thus sinks that we may be uplifted. Verses 7 and 8. "All they that see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip. They shake the head, saying, 'He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him.'" We return to Calvary. The whole scene here appears in predictive light. As the prophet wrote, so literally it was transacted. Hear the inspired historian. "They that passed by reviled him, wagging their heads. Likewise also the chief priests mocking him with the scribes and elders said, 'He trusted in God. Let him deliver him now if he will have him.' The sight of extremist misery moved not their cruel hearts. They reveled in their victim's pain. Their sneers and taunts wound deeper than the nails. His grief surpassed all grief, even as his love exceeded love. By these, his stripes, we are healed. Verses 9 and 10. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breasts. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Faith draws support from recollection of the earliest mercies. The goodness which watched over infancy and childhood are too often overlooked as common dealings. But the enlightened eye, in all this watchful care, discerns God's gracious hand. It is our wisdom to trace each providence to special love. They dwell in regions of delight who see God everywhere, and in all concerns, in all things, Christ is our bright example. May he who is the giver of all faith give unto us faith strong as his own. As he trusted, so may we trust. Psalm 22, verses 11 through 21. Verse 11. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Faith quickly flies to God. Its feet frequent the well-known path of prayer. In nearness of trouble, it finds nearness to the mercy seat. Absence of human help is not a loss if it secures the help of heaven. Welcome all earthly destitution if God supply the void. Verses 12 and 13. Many bulls have compassed me. Strong bulls of Bashan have beset me around. They gaped upon me with their mouths as a ravening and a roaring lion. We return in spirit to the cross. The dying Jesus looks around. Multitudes beset him. With open mouth, ferociously they gape. Throughout the Mass, there is no sign of pity. All hearts seem dead to common feelings of humanity. They show the properties of the wildest beasts. They are savage as the untamed bull. They thirst for blood as the devouring lion. This is the saddest picture of man's malignity. What frightful fury raged against Jesus, the perfect model of holiness and love. His only offense was that he trod this earth as God. We see what man is when no grace restrains. If we love Jesus, whom the world thus hated, let us give praise to grace, which causes us to differ. Verses 14 and 15. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaveth to my jaws, and thou hast brought me into the dust of death. The suffering Jesus thus described his miserable state. In graphic terms, he tells of his extremity of agony and his extremity of weakness. The pain of the cross was bitterest pain. The weight of the body, suspended by the nailed hands and feet, violently strained the whole frame. It was almost dislocation of each bone. Every joint was wrenched. But still no bone may suffer fracture. A clear type announced their soundness, and wondrously was the type fulfilled. The picture shows the whole frame dissolving. It retains no firmness, no consistency. It utterly yields and flows away in weakness as resistless water yields to touch. Strength of spirit, too, collapses. As wax melts, softens, and offers no resistance to subduing heat, so the heart lay prostrate beneath subduing misery. What is so weak and brittle as the clay of the potter baked and dried up by fire? So the fire of God's wrath brought down to nothingness the sufferer's strength. The clammy mouth showed that the vital juices were dried up, and death usurped undisturbed dominion. In all this anguish, Jesus realizes his heavenly Father's hand. This is thy doing. I sink into the dust of death, but thy hand thus lays me low. Jesus thus dies because his people were thus sentenced. And he thus mounts the cross to die their death, that he might bear to the uttermost their curse. He mercifully selects a term to show how exactly he bore their penalty. The sentence said, "Unto dust thou shalt return." Jesus calls God to witness, "Thou hast brought me into the dust of death." Verses 16, 17, and 18. "For dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. I may tell all my bones. They look and stare upon me. They part my garments among them and cast lots upon my vesture." This wondrous passage establishes beyond all controversy that none but Jesus is the subject of this psalm. To none other can these terms apply. In him, they receive entire and exact fulfillment. Another prophet writes, "They shall look upon me whom they have pierced." The history relates the very fact. No ground is left on which unbelief can place its foot. Let us give thanks, knowing that by these wounds we are saved, by these stripes we are healed. The very garments of our suffering Lord are here foretold. The seamless texture of his upper vest, the mode in which they are distributed, the Roman soldiers utterly without knowledge of this scripture, devoid of all intention to accomplish, worked them out to the very letter. It is a wondrous word. These things also the soldiers did. Verses 19, 20, and 21. "But be thou far from me not, O Lord. O my strength, haste thou to me. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, for thou hast heard me from the horns of the unicorns." Here new images appear to show the bloodthirsty rage of the unrelenting murderers. We have seen their fury as bulls and lions. We now see their fierceness as dogs and unicorns. Fierce fury could not be more fierce. Again, we see that no trials can quench the flame of faith or check its rapid flight to God. It ever realizes, "When I am weak in myself, I have God for my strength." In the lowest depths of misery, it clings to deliverance as a sure anchor. Jesus testifies on the cross, "Thou hast heard me." He was not saved from dying, but he was saved from death. He died, for he must endure our death, but death could not detain. He lives again. He was fully heard. Glorious victory. He dies for us, and by his death, he has abolished death. Psalm 22, verses 22 through 31, verse 22. "I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregation will I praise thee." The horrors of the cross give place to joy. From this deepest misery, we hear a jubilant note. Jesus now speaks as risen from the dust of death, as going forth arrayed in power and crowned with majesty and honor. He states his mission to reveal to the church all the perfections of his heavenly Father and ever present by his Spirit in the assemblies of his people, to fill their mouths with Jehovah's praise. He will make their hearts a flood of gratitude and cause the streams of thanksgiving to overflow. How great is his mercy and condescension in thus uniting us to himself as brethren. He who is Jehovah's fellow, one in essence with the Father, God over all, blessed forevermore, looks with intensest love on us poor, miserable worms and vilest sinners, and is not ashamed to call us brethren. In the days of his abode on earth, we hear his voice, "Go unto my brethren." Again, go tell my brethren. We adore him as firstborn among many brethren. Let us with all boldness ever draw near and tell him our every sorrow and our every need. He has a loving brother's loving heart toward us. Verses 23 and 24. Ye that fear the Lord, praise him. All ye the seed of Jacob, glorify him and fear him. All ye the seed of Israel, for he hath not despised nor abhorred the affliction of the afflicted. Neither hath he hid his face from him, but when he cried unto him, he heard. From the cross the voice of Jesus stirs up his people to laud and glorify his Father's name. They are described as they who fear. Their filial love is ever tremulous of giving offense. Their love is mingled with revering awe. Mercy to Jesus on the cross is a rich topic of thanksgiving. He was indeed the despised and rejected of men. He drank the bitterest dregs of affliction's cup. But though for a while forsaken of the Father, he was ever his dearly beloved, and his every prayer was heard and answered. Warmed by this thought, let us obey our Lord and sing God's praises, ardent with love, lowly in fear. Verse 25, my praise shall be of thee in the great congregation. I will pay my vows before them that fear him. The heart of Jesus is ever intent to bring glory to the Father. It is his joy to awaken the notes of praise wherever his congregations meet. He remembers, too, the work which he has pledged to execute. Never will he cease, never will he remit his efforts until the whole company, given by the Father's love, are sought and found, are melted and renewed, and brought by faith to welcome his complete salvation. Verses 26, 27, and 28. The meek shall eat and be satisfied. They shall praise the Lord that seek him. Your heart shall live forever. All the ends of the world shall remember and turn unto the Lord, and all the kindreds of the nations shall worship before thee, for the kingdom is the Lord's, and he is the governor among the nations. Another distinctive mark of Christ's little flock is meekness. They are true followers of him who sweetly said, I am meek and lowly in heart. Abundance of refreshing feast is provided for them. Christ is their bread of life. Christ is their daily manna. Christ is their feast of fat things. They hear his welcome, eat, O friends, drink, yea, drink abundantly, O beloved. They are fully satisfied, and they return abundant praise. Jesus, though dying, knew that he should live forever, and living would be the life of all who trusted in him. Surely their life is far from harm, who know that their life is hid with Christ in God. At present, the world is full of all disquietude and evil. But this confusion and iniquity will soon give place to the reign of righteousness. Christ is heir of all things. His righteous throne will soon be set, and then from the rising of the sun to its decline, pure worship will be given to him. Verses 29, 30, and 31. All they that be fat upon earth shall eat and worship it. All they that go down to the dust shall bow before him, and none can keep alive his own soul. A seed shall serve him. It shall be accounted to the Lord for a generation. They shall come and shall declare his righteousness unto a people that shall be born, that he hath done this. The sorrows of the cross end in glorious triumph. What marvels of extensive blessedness spring from these seeds of agony and blood. The word shall receive full accomplishment. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, until the bright day of his return, a constant succession called by his grace, quickened by his Spirit, adopted into his family, shall spring up to call him Lord and render devout service. They shall flow on in uninterrupted streams, proclaiming from age to age his glorious righteousness as their robe to justify, as their ornament for heaven. Rejoicing in full salvation, they shall ascribe all to his finished work. Deep in self-abasement, they shall magnify his grace. One shall be their song. This glory is all his work. He hath done this. May we thus sing. And so, my friends, this concludes the reading of Psalm 22 in the Old English King James Version of the Holy Bible, with the comments by the commentator Henry Law of the 18th century. Father, we thank you for the Word of God. How precious is Psalm 22, and we thank you for the blessing of the godly Law's comments which we have received. And we thank you, Lord, that in his comments we see before us, as in a picture, the sufferings and the glories of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we worship you, Lord Jesus Christ, giver of only good, giver of all good, giver of every good gift. And we thank you for this good gift today of the Word of God and these helpful comments that have brought us to see you crucified and gloriously risen in eternal power, our God. And we worship you, Lord. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen and amen. And so, my friends, until next Lord's Day morning, may the Lord bless you.